views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Revolution comes with a price tag. You a slave to a flag in a country that clearly doesn't love you when they probably never have told you turn the other cheek. And they made it with a bat, fucking protesting them cities. Told you go fight in the war, Vietnam, dagger riddance. The man of the house rule took you from your siblings. Turned around and pump crack right up when you did it. And they turned all your leaders to martyrs. You was off in the war, now who was guarding your daughters? It was riots in the streets, killed Malcolm and Martin. Called the National Guard up because we ride with our guard up. And that was blood in your guard. The Second Amendment don't apply to you. Everything that they taught you was a lie to you. See, they scared of your skin and they dying to shoot. Take the American dream and then you die to pursue.
One day it'll all make sense. If it ain't about power, then it don't make sense. But none of that money matters when you live in madness. So one day you figure out that all you got is this. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger.
Good afternoon. You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network, new black media for the new millennium. This is listener-funded radio, and this is Black Talk Radio News. My name, of course, is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA, Inc., from the state of North Carolina. Today's date is November the 24th, 2015. It is a Tuesday afternoon, and I hope that my voice finds you safe and relatively sound behind these enemy lines. Lots going on out there. This week we've been reporting on people being attacked by racist thugs and whatnot. So, I mean, it's just a whole lot of news to report, not just from here in the USA, but in terms of globally. There's a lot of things that are happening in the world that a lot of people, they need to be aware of this news. But, you know, we only can share what we feel like to be some of the most important stories that our listeners want to hear about. But with that said, I do want to follow up on an announcement that I made yesterday as I was telling the listeners about ProxyRacism.com having a new feature where you can submit examples and news stories that you feel fit the definition of proxy racism, so we can raise awareness about this practice and so that we can hopefully end this practice. Because I stand by my assertion based on my analysis that you know, the system of racism cannot exist without help from non-black people, its victims. All right, that it, like they say, it takes two to tango. And my study of history has shown that even in military conflicts or military conquest and what have you, that non-white people have aided racist whites in destroying, you know, other non-white nations, other non-white communities and what have you. But we now have added that feature to blacktalkradionetwork.com. Like I was stating, and I think I said this yesterday, I get a whole lot of news tips and articles and videos shared with me through Facebook. But Facebook, you know, I get like thousands of messages. Well, I ain't gonna say thousands, but hundreds. I probably got 1,000 or more in my box, and I haven't even seen them all. But the best way, if you want to submit news that you either want me to talk about on air or you want us to share on our social media accounts and post to Black Talk Radio Network, now you can submit your own news stories and blogs. Either, you know, you're sharing a story from another website, or if you just want to write your own blog and article. You can submit that on a new page that has been posted on BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. in the bottom menu. That's the gray menu that's below the darker gray menu that has all the different radio stations and program information. But the menu below that one, it says submit your news to Black Talk Radio. You click on that page and you could just go ahead and submit that news that way, and it'll come to my email box, which I admit I need to spend more time in my email box than I do checking messages and on Facebook, whether there are messages to my personal message box on Facebook, or whether it's people sending messages to the various pages that I help manage on Facebook. And so I'm not able, you know, to keep up with all of that. And you know, you may have something important that our people need to hear about. So the best way to do that is to submit it through the website, blacktalkradionetwork.com. And that'll come straight to my email box. All right, with that out of the way, we do have some pressing news that we would like to share. Our top story today is the arrest of the suspected racist Chicago cop, Jason Van Dyke. He was indicted on first-degree murder charges today, and I have thoughts on why that is. And I think I talked about it yesterday when I was reporting on the story about the black men who had came out in the snow and had a little demonstration of their own calling for calm in the city ahead of the release of the video. And I think I stated yesterday, well, if you want to stop people from getting frustrated and getting angry and perhaps going out there torching police vehicles and whatnot, then perhaps y'all should start arresting these killers. And so we see ahead of the release of this video. Oh, now they arrest this guy. So I think the two are connected. I don't think it's just a coincidence that the day before, you know, this video is supposed to be released, that you then arrest this killer cop. No, I don't think that's a coincidence. Also, in another case of domestic terrorism, you have two arrests. Now, when I posted today's program description with links to the news that I will be discussing today, I posted that an arrest was made, meaning one arrest, singular. But now I have learned, I was just watching CNN right before I came on air, and I was like, you know, why they keep talking about this what happened in Turkey. Now, you know, I've been monitoring it off and on. I'm talking about the TV, the news channel, and all they've been talking about is the government of Turkey shooting down a Russian plane. Now, that's important news, and I will discuss that if I have time to get to it as our last international news story. But that's all I kept seeing all day long. Was repeats of that same story, and Donald Trump, of course, talking about, you know, he saw a video of thousands of Muslims celebrating on 9/11 after the attacks, which turned out to be false, and we'll get to that in just a minute. But I was like, well, where is this story about what's going on in Minneapolis, where you got these domestic terrorists who shot five of the protesters in Minneapolis who were occupying the grounds of a police precinct? And then about a minute or two after I said that, then this came on and they reported that there was a second arrest. Now, there's alleged to be three suspected racist terrorists, but they've arrested two thus far. All right. And so, of course, we want to talk about that story today. And again, mentioning Donald Trump, as I brought him up yesterday, I'm bringing him up again today as he's engaged in, you know, this racist rhetoric and propaganda and whatnot. But of course, like I said, he's being blasted in the media for making false statements about thousands of Muslims in New Jersey celebrating the 9/11 attacks. And I mean, he's just doubling down on it. He hasn't produced an archive news report that he saw or a video that he saw. The mainstream media hasn't either. But I was thinking, I was like, you know what? I think he saw I think what he saw was that report about the five dancing Israelis who were detained by the New York Police Department after citizens called the police and reported that they were outside in a parking lot celebrating the 9/11 attacks as the buildings were hadn't even completely collapsed. I think the video I saw showed like and they were out there filming, too. And so, again, you know, people like to say that, oh, you're engaging in conspiracy theories, like conspiracies don't happen. Okay. But this was these guys were set up and filming this before the first plane ever struck. And if you're familiar with 9/11 Truther News, then you might be familiar with this story. But maybe that's what he saw. Maybe he saw that video of the five dancing Israelis who got detained by the NYPD after a citizen spotted them celebrating, like holding up their lighters and, you know, slapping hands and whatnot. So maybe that's what Donald Trump saw. Anyway, that isn't the only false rumor that's being spread by Donald Trump. He was called out, and I was surprised that the source of this next story, I've known about this website called hotair.com going all the way back to my days on the suspected racist platform, Blog Talk Radio, hotair.com. I think a number of people associated with that website might have had a program on the suspected racist Blog Talk Radio platform. But anyway, that's how I found out about them. So I've known about them since 2007. But I was surprised that they published a post about Donald Trump tweeting out a fictional crime statistics about the murder rates over the weekend. So, you know, that's not really being talked about. I did see this Muslim guy on CNN as he was, you know, blasting Donald Trump for his fictional story about American Muslims. But he also mentioned, you know, that Donald Trump had retweeted a false meme on Twitter. And the source of that was a neo-Nazi. Now, I don't think Hot Air, I just scanned, you know, did some speed reading and scanned what they had wrote. I don't think they pointed out the fact that his source was a person on Twitter who uses a Nazi swastika as their icon, and this is a neo-Nazi. His Twitter timeline, you know, just full of racist propaganda and whatnot. And Donald Trump retweeted that fictional crime statistics trying to say that, you know, point out, you know, black people are killing black people. And, you know, what are you worried about cops killing you for? Because you're killing yourselves and whatnot. And just totally taking it out of context. And, you know, as has the Department of Justice, or I should say the FBI, crime statistics have reported that there has been a decline in violent crimes across the board. Certainly, it hasn't declined enough, all right, but it has been in decline due to the efforts of many different community organizations and activists for over 20 years. I mean, I can think back going to when I was a younger man in my 20s and hearing about the Stop the Violence campaigns and whatnot. So that's over 20 years that black people have been addressing that issue. But according to the racists, of course, you know, all we care about is police killing black people. But that's not true. So that was a unexpected post from a source, Hot Air, which is a conservative website, who is pointing out that Trump tweeted these fictional crime statistics. So Trump got a problem with using propaganda and tweeting out false information, and you know, of course, his supporters, they don't care. They don't care. They're just happy to have someone who is openly more racist than the refined racists, you know, in the GOP. You know, they aren't, the refined racists just aren't so blatant, you know, with their racism and whatnot. But Donald Trump doesn't care. So they like that. That's somebody who is speaking out loud the thoughts that they have that they don't want to speak out loud, unless, you know, they're, you know, hiding behind a computer, keyboard, or they find themselves in the safety of some white mob or something. Then, yeah, they'll say those things. Again, in international news, NATO held an emergency meeting after Turkey shot down a Russian warplane that was targeting terrorists in Syria. And this was near the Turkish border. I know that Dave on Tando Radio Show, LA Dave, has reported on that story and what's going on in Syria and whatnot. They've talked a lot about that. He'll probably share that news today. Check out Tando Radio Show on Facebook. That's where he shares a lot of the news stories that they're looking at. But this could blow up into something bigger. As we have discussed, you know, this could turn into World War III. And it really could. It really could. I don't think people should say that, you know, well, you're just exaggerating and fear-mongering and whatnot. But no, really, this could turn into World War III. You know, as the war profiteers, I'm sure, wouldn't mind having another great war so they can make great profits from funding all sides. So, yeah, that's something that I'm looking at in the international news. Make sure, if you have any questions, any comments, any observations that you would like to share on air, that you get those in early. Give us a call, 641-715-3660. That's 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-POUND. Again, that's 549-032-POUND. Once you dialed in, you know, some people don't have smartphones or whatever, or they don't have the TuneIn app to where they can get the station and whatnot. And TuneIn, something about that TuneIn app, when I visit the TuneIn website to check our stream where we have, you know, close to 4,000 people following us, the station on TuneIn, it keeps saying that it's unable to find a playable stream. And I don't know what's going on with that, but I have submitted the information more than once. And I suspect that somebody is messing around with that stream and or that listing on TuneIn.com and don't want people to be able to tune into our station. But that's not the only place you can find us, of course. You can find this station right here at our network home, which is BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. The website adapts to any kind of mobile phone you're using, any kind of devices that you may use, like a tablet, and, of course, you know, your desktop computer. You tune into the station that way. But we're also on other digital radio directories as well. So, let's jump right into the top news of the day, and that is the arrest of the suspected racist cop. His name is Jason Van Dyke. He emptied his pistol and reloaded. Now, remember, I was saying this yesterday. All right, this is coming to you from NY Daily News, New York Daily News, but it's nydailynews.com. And yesterday I was saying, now, I don't know every make and model of a handgun that's out there or that the police are using. But I was like, for him to shoot this young man 16 times, he would have had to reload. If he was using a revolver, he had to, you know, use a speed loader and whatnot and put another, you know, chamber in there with six more shots. So, or either he had to change his clips out, because most of the handguns that I have owned and used and whatnot, the clips don't hold 16. All right, they don't hold 16. That's something for like an assault rifle. I think my hunting rifle, my little 22 rifle that I hunt with, it holds like maybe 16. No, I think it holds 18. 18, you know, bullets in it. And so I was like, this guy had to have, reloaded on this kid, you know, to change out the clips and kept shooting. And that's the headline coming to you from NYDailyNews.com. They say, it says that in an article written by Dan Good, it says Chicago police officer Jason Van Dyke emptied his pistol and reloaded as teen Laquan McDonald lay on the ground during the barrage. Cop charged with murder for firing 16 times. So he is charged with first degree murder. I don't know if I mentioned that. I know I wrote that in the description. But he has been charged with first-degree murder. Now, this is some of what Mr. Cook wrote about it. He said a Chicago police officer spent 13 seconds firing as Laquan McDonald lay prone on the street, emptying his pistol and reloading, even though the black teen never made a motion to fight back, according to charging documents released ahead of the video showing the deadly 2014 shooting. So this shooting took place in October of 2014. Again, there are so many different victims of police terrorism and murder in this country. We may have reported on this case back then. We may not have. Again, you know, there are over 1,000 of such cases in this country. And we're not saying that, you know, all of the shootings were murders and whatnot, but that's a very high number of people getting shot by police in this country. So we may have reported on it. We may not have. Again, it's hard to keep up with all the number of people that they're shooting and killing in this country. So he is being held without bond, according to the NYDailyNews.com. Article says Officer Jason Van Dyke was held without bond on first degree murder today. If convicted, he could face life behind bars. For months, the city had refused to release dash cam video showing 17-year-old Laquan McDonald's final moments, but charging documents released Tuesday exposed horrific details of the police involved shooting. According to the documents, which were first obtained by DNAinfo.com Chicago, Van Dyke was approximately 15 feet away from McDonald on October the 20th, 2014, when he fired his first shots. According to those who have seen the graphic footage, McDonald can be seen walking away from police when Van Dyke unleashes a barrage of bullets from about 15 feet away. Now, I was reading a different article that earlier today, and of course, the police union is taking up for this murderer. Of course, his attorney is taking up for this killer. And there's no doubt, there is no reasonable doubt whatsoever that this man did what he's charged with. But they want to say that this child, Laquan McDonald, had a knife in his hand and he lunged towards Van Dyke and was about to stab him. All that is freaking lies. All of it's lies. It's all lies. And the video will show that. It's also stated, like I said yesterday, I wasn't sure if any of the other officers had opened fire on Laquan, as I had been reporting. Everything that I had seen had indicated that the first officers to make the initial contact with Mr. McDonald, they attempted to talk to him. They attempted to talk him down, and they wanted to use non-lethal force if he didn't comply, and that's why they called for officer on scene with a taser. And before that officer with the taser possibly could get on scene, here comes this racist suspect, Van Dyke, pulling up in his car, jumping out the car, and opening up fire on his team. No other officer fired their weapon. That is being reported as a fact. It was only this rabid dog by the name of Jason Van Dyke who did this. Now, my issue is, this is getting back to what I was talking about yesterday, that if there's any violence or whatnot, that it is the fault, number one, of Jason Van Dyke. And I'm talking about if there's any violence when this video is released showing the graphic execution of Laquan McDonald. that if there is anybody that's acting out of frustration and just tired of seeing all these killer cops get away with murder and whatnot, in the process, draw, number one, that fault would be on Jason Van Dyke. Nobody made him pull that trigger. Nobody made him murder this young man. So first and foremost, any blame for any resulting or counter violence that occurs is his fault. Point at him. Secondly, if you want to blame somebody, blame the Cook County Prosecutor's Office for sitting on this video and dragging out this investigation for what? Over a year now? This happened in October 2014. It is now November the 24th, 2015. So over a year, this guy been allowed to just collect a paycheck on the taxpayer's dime and sit behind a desk playing Tetris or some other game on his smartphone or whatever, you know? And so, you know, when you have this kind of video evidence, why is it taking this long? And even without video evidence, murder investigations of non-police offenders do not take a year. Let's say, for example, if I went out there, let's say I went to one of these Confederate, like they had here recently, or I should say over the summer in Gaston County, when they had these Confederate flag supporters all having this little rally in support of keeping the flag up in South Carolina. Now, suppose I had went to that park, that public park where they were all gathered, and I just started shooting at these people. I just walked up to one and blowed his freaking brains out for being a racist terrorist and making me feel unsafe behind these enemy lines. And somebody captured that on video. And even if I was able to get away and whatnot, you know, they still had me on video. And so, you know, I doubt it would take a year for the Gaston County Prosecutor's Office to investigate me gunning down racist suspected terrorists. It would not take a year. In fact, within days, they will have a manhunt out for me. And once they identified me, man, I might not even get taken in alive. All right, I might get extrajudicially killed out there on the street by a cop. So, you know, I'm saying that to say, why do we keep accepting these investigations to drag out over a year? As I was talking to my mother earlier today about this very case and how long this guy been sitting on desk duty, I was like, this is the pattern and practice of police and trying to cover up police shootings, working in a conspiratorial manner with the prosecutor's office, because there is no separation there. They work together. They're joined at the hip. And so we had this 74-year-old veteran killed in his home around midnight. At the police and the fire department broke into his house, talking about they were doing a welfare check, and he, not knowing who they were, confronts the intruders with a weapon in his hand, and then he's shot down in his own home. Now, they still investigating that. That's been over a year. James Allen, look him up. James Allen killed by Gastonia police officer. The local media don't care. They ain't been providing no updates, and I follow them on social media as I gather intelligence on what's going on around me locally, and they haven't been doing any follow-up. The NAACP chapter here in Gaston County, they haven't been asking any questions and doing any follow-ups. No, they've been too busy tweeting videos of confused black people talking about black people calling themselves black is what's causing racism, you know. So again, this been over a year since Mr. James Allen was gunned down in his own home by a Gastonia police officer. Why is it taking this long? It shouldn't take that long. And that just tells you, that tells me, I don't know what it says to you, but it says to me that they are just trying to let time go by so that Mr. James Allen will fade from the public's memory and whatnot, and they're on to the next police killing or whatever fake news that they want to share or whatever. But yeah, this does not make any logical sense whatsoever. And this is why people get frustrated. This is why people protest out in the streets. This is why people have started a new movement to address police terrorism and violence, which is all really connected to 13th Amendment slavery. Slavery was never abolished, and they need new slaves to keep the economy going. Because 21st century slavery and human trafficking employs a lot of people, as well as provides a lot of profits for the investors. Whether those investors be individuals or banks or mutual funds or what have you. So again, if there is, and I don't recommend that people in Chicago, hey, that's y'all battleground right there. I don't presume to tell you how to counteract the violence that's happening to you. But I would say that I would heed the words of the black men that stood out there in the snow yesterday and say, you know, there's no need to have any mass violence or what have you, any counter violence is what I would call it. You no need to go out there in the streets in frustration and perhaps, you know, you getting killed or enslaved, put on the slave auction blocks, which they call courthouses and courtrooms. No, there's no need for that. They've arrested the guy on first degree murder charges and we'll let it play out. That would be my suggestion to you. That would be the most constructive thing to do. But again, as they say in counter racist circles, you have BGQ status. All right. So, yeah, let's see if I can pick up any more details from this story. Well, let's listen to this report from WGN Chicago. Bear with me. It may play an ad. That's how they pay the bills, so to speak. So let's go ahead and cue this up. Man, I hate it when these websites just keep reloading and working and reloading.
When a nation comes together to help a city recover,
right,
and Goldman Sachs joins the effort to help, a community gets the investment it needs.
No, we don't trust Goldman Sachs.
Makes progress.
They already done robbed the American people one time, so. Now, I don't know if there's any audio to this, but it just shows two white males, one of them being the suspected racist killer, Jason Van Dyke, walking with his attorney, I presume, walking to the courthouse for his noon bond hearing. He's being asked questions by reporters, but of course we can't hear it, so let's go ahead and end this there. That was a whole lot of nothing. But let me see, what else can we pick up from this report that was made in the prosecution's documents. None of the officers observed McDonald attempt to throw his knife at the defendant, Van Dyke, jump or lunge toward Van Dyke, raise his knife as if to stab the defendant, or did anything that was obviously threatening toward the defendant beyond what was depicted in the video and not responding to commands while carrying a knife, the charging documents state. Again, carrying a knife and possessing a knife, this was a 4-inch folding knife, is not a crime in the state of Illinois, and while Illinois does have some of the strictest gun control legislation in the nation, a 4-inch folding knife is not illegal for somebody to have. All right. Now, he did ignore the police commands and whatnot, but again, is that an executable crime? Do you get the death sentence for not cooperating in an investigation? You know, you don't have to incriminate yourself. and whatnot. Now, it's recommended when they got guns and stuff drawn on you and given their history, their violent history, when we see the victims every day, it is, I would recommend that you comply. Live to fight another day. And just don't say anything. You have a right to remain silent. But one of the things that is very, I would say, encouraging in this case is that the other cops on the scene did not all come together with this killer and cover up for him. It appears that they gave truthful statements that has resulted in this cop being charged. But again, why did it take a year to investigate? And it was only after, again, the judge, two things. After the judge ordered that this tape be released, this video be released from the dash cam, no later than tomorrow, Wednesday, he ruled on that last week. And Mayor Rahm Emanuel, who is I don't like him, and I'm not going to call him out his name or nothing like that, but he is a racist suspect in my mind. But he told the prosecution that you need to hurry up and wrap up your investigation. And so then the next day, here comes the prosecutor, Nita Alvarez, I think heads that Cook County prosecutor's office, which is very corrupt, has a history of corruption. Oh, then she concludes the investigation and indicts this guy. Well, I don't even know if there was an indictment. I think they just charged him. Because, again, as I have reported, you don't have to indict people all the time. You can just prosecute them based on evidence that you have. You don't have to take it to a grand jury and say, we think we have evidence that, would warrant murder charges on this individual and whatnot. No, you could just go ahead and charge him and then argue in front of a jury, if it's going to be a jury trial, or argue, your evidence in front of the judge if it's a bench trial. So again, but that's encouraging that these other cops did not hide behind the blue line, and adhere to the Chicago police no snitching rule. And they gave truthful statements that showed that this young man, this victim, who was having a reaction to some drugs, it's been reported that he, might have got a hold of some PCP. Somebody could have slipped it to him. He could have took it on his own and whatnot. But that is the report that's coming out. So he wasn't in his right mind and whatnot. But still, you shouldn't get executed because you're, suffering from some ill effects of some drugs you took. But they said that, these other cops said that, no, we didn't see him try to stab nobody. He didn't lunge at Van Dyke. He didn't raise the knife. He didn't try to throw the knife at him. And he didn't do anything that was threatening towards this Van Dyke. So that's what some of the charging documents state. Now, again, this is just one step in a long process in terms of getting justice. And I don't know if you can ever truly get justice when somebody's life has been taken. Some things people just can't come back from. And certainly you can't come. Mr. McDonald is not coming back from the dead. So justice, saying that we can implement justice in this case. No. What we want is punishment. We want this cop to be held accountable. And this is, again, only the first step in this very long process. Because he could end up with a implicitly biased jury of all white people. Like we see in Oklahoma City in the prosecution of Daniel Holtzclaw, who raped all those black women. And, somehow they got an all-white jury called, as if don't know non-white people live in that county. That could be the case here. Or it could be that, even if they do have some black people or other non-white people on the jury, like in the case of the officer in Charlotte, North Carolina, who murdered Jonathan Farrell, where you had a hung jury. Where the racist suspects on the jury just wasn't going to find this man guilty regardless. So it's a very long process. There's no reason to be celebrating or patting anybody on the back for doing what they should have done back in 2014. All right, so those are my thoughts on that story. It's good that this suspected racist cop, and for those wondering why I keep saying that, it's because he has complaints that have been filed on him in the past alleging that he was using not only excessive force but racial slurs as he abused people. So, yeah, let's hope that this results in a conviction. So this is something that could drag out for many, many more months. It could be a year before they even bring him to trial. Who knows? Who knows? All right. I'm going to take a station identification break, kick some message music right quick. And when we come back, we want to talk about another case of terrorism, domestic terrorism here behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. An arrest has been made in the domestic terrorism case where five Minneapolis protesters associated with Black Lives Matter who had been occupying the grounds of their police precinct, and I say their police precinct because that's public funded taxpayer maintained property. That property don't belong to the police, it belongs to the people, and they've been occupying their property. And so you had these white antagonists who didn't like that and wanted to come out there and shoot some people. So there has been two arrests made in that case, and we'll talk about that on the other side. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News. This is listener-funded radio. Please make a donation today to the Black Talk Media Project.
Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
I'm the deputy chairman of the state of Illinois Black Panther Party, Fred Hampton. I have the pleasure now to introduce who I believe is one of the baddest motherfuckers in the world. A man that did something that a lot of us ought to be very glad that he did. He was a part of making the only party which exists in the United States today that represents the people. As a matter of fact, he was one half. Him and Huey P. Newton started out in 1966. Sometimes I think where some of us were in 1966. I think what we would have said if we'd heard about some niggas going out the street talking about carrying some guns, fighting all them police because we didn't know they were seeing out there in the street. And I think I'm speaking for the whole party of the state of Illinois. I know I am. When I say that we love Huey P. Newton. We love Elvin Cleaver. We love Bobby Hutton. We love the Black Panther Party. And we love Chairman Bobby C. We love them because they were the first ones that took a stand against capitalism and racism and said that we'll fight until the end. We said we draw the line somewhere, motherfucker. If you try to pass us, we'll blow your brains out. They were the first ones that came through with the program that was initiated for the benefit of the people. All those things that I named, the reasons why we love them are reasons that make it beneficial to us. But let me simply say when I'm introducing Brother Bobby, that we love him because it's lovely to love. Tell me about the people.
All right, we here for some jive conspiracy. You know what we're gonna do?
We are going to defend ourselves. Because Huey P. Newton said that power is the ability to define phenomena and make it act in a desired manner. Power is the ability to define phenomena and make it act in a desired manner. What kind of phenomena?
social phenomena. What is the social phenomena? Black people, Mexican American, any kind of people, begins to learn that the social phenomena is that, in fact, U.S. racist, decadent, capitalist, imperialist America is a police state. Right. That a police state exists here, that these pigs are doing nothing but protecting the average businessman and the demagogic politicians, protecting the exploitative system that they got going. That in fact, we are tired of it, we are sick of it, you've been brutalizing black people, you've been murdering and lynching them, black people are tired of it. That could be vanguard revolution all of a sudden, and it's phenomenally correct also, but we are concerned with that social phenomena, we are concerned with that exploitation, we are concerned with the oppression that black people and all other people in the world who are suffering the same common oppression that we are suffering today. The thing is that we have the ability to define it. Still, if we have the ability to define it, the only next thing to do is get organized. So when a pig walks up to you, or a pig gets a job with the people, you'll be so organized, you'll be learning some tactics, you'll be learning some revolutionary principles, you'll be having some guns hit out somewhere, you have some proper tactics. That when the pig gets a job with you, the pig gets wrong, you whoop your guns out on him, blow him away, and then you have the ability, in fact, you have made that pig act in a desired manner.
Black Talk Radio News, Scotty Reed in for this broadcast from behind the enemy lines. And that first speaker you heard in that throwback clip was Fred Hampton, Chairman Fred Hampton, who was the chairman of the Black Panther Party in Illinois, where this, of course, where Chicago is. And he lived in Chicago, and he was assassinated by Chicago police with the FBI. So police terrorism and violence against the black community and other oppressed communities have been going on for quite some time. The current movement to address police terrorism and violence isn't anything new. It's just a continuation of a centuries-long struggle against police terrorism. Remember, police come out of the slave patrols. The first police department was made up of former slave patrollers back in the 1600s in Boston, Massachusetts. All right. So, and their mission remains the same. All right. To police black communities and as well as to catch slaves. And they doing the same thing today. But again, I do want to give a shout out to those Chicago police officers who did the right thing and did not help cover up this crime of this rabid dog by the name of Jason Van Dyke. See, that's what we want to see. That if you want a better community relationships and whatnot between the police and the people, then that is what we need to see. We don't need to see gang-like activity where you're covering up the crimes of one of your fellow gang members. All right? We don't need to see that. What we need to see is justice. So for those cops that broke ranks with the gang known as the Chicago Police Department and gave truthful information about what they witnessed, shout out to you. Watch your back. Because we've seen across the nation whenever a police officer informs on other officers, they usually become targeted and they try to set them up to be killed. So all you cops that did the right thing in Chicago, watch your back. Just watch your back, all right? And so let's move on to this next story. This next story pertains to the act of domestic terrorism that happened in Minneapolis, where protesters have been occupying their police precinct, because that is their public property, and they were shot at by up to three white males. Now, I'm getting I got an earlier report that said the second person arrested, they've arrested one white male, 23 years old, and the second person they've arrested has been described as a 30-something, 32-year-old male, Hispanic, but as I think it was Tariq Nasheed, I'm not sure, but the black person who was on CNN said that we don't know if this person identifies as white. Because, see, Hispanic is not a racial classification, all right? It's more of a cultural classification. It's more of a linguistic classification. All Hispanics are not non-white. Spaniards are Europeans, and they practice slavery just like their less melanated European cousins. And so this person may not identify as white, but it is not unheard of for non-white people to be in or working with or associated with white terrorist organizations. So, I mean, whether he classifies or identifies as white or not, that doesn't matter. What matters is his actions, his activity. If he is non-white, then this is an egregious act of proxy racism in the very least. An egregious act of proxy racism. So, but anyway, I want to give a shout out to the website unicornriot.ninja. Unicornriot.ninja. They were out there, I guess, live streaming. And so when this happened, when this terrorist attack happened here on U.S. soil, they were able to interview some of the witnesses. And so we'll go ahead and play some of those videos via unicornriot.ninja. That's unicornriot.ninja. Shout out to them for their independent media activities. So this is a witness testimony. They tagged this as witness testimony number 5, a white supremacist shooting.
We have two more people who were up here at the time. Can you talk about what you saw?
So me and Lucci were escorting the people who off the premises. And then they would start running, and then people were following them to make sure that they weren't going to come back. And then most of the crowd, because we were like, no, this is what they want, like, the person in the crowd, like, had seen them about to draw a gun when they were in the crowd. And so then most of the people stopped because we knew there was a trap. They were trying to set us up. But then a small group broke off and kept following them. And me and Lucci ran with them because we were like, we need to make sure that this is staying safe. And then as we broke away from the crowd and then we crossed the street, then they turned around and started shooting. And it was like so fast that I thought that it was like firecrackers because everything was so loud and it was like smoke and stuff. And I was like sure that they weren't actually shooting at us. And I was like, no, they're just trying to scare us. They're like throwing firecrackers. Like, okay. But then it was like there was a guy on my left. There was a guy on my right, like up over here. And my bullets were just like flying. And like he went down, and then the other guy went down, and then I was like, shit. And then like one of them was like, I've been shot. And then I was like, oh crap. And so as I like went to go help them, the guys who were shooting at us ran off, and so like they escaped. But then we were, I was trying to help the people who had been shot, and then their friends pulled up and in an SUV, and they're like, we need to get them to the hospital, and they're afraid of police further like victimizing and like brutalizing them, and so they were like, we need to go to the hospital by ourselves. And so I helped them get into their SUV, and one of them was like on the ground. He even shot in the back and the leg, and we got him in the car. Another guy who had been shot in the arm, my arm's numb, and then we like I got him in the van and like in the SUV thing too, and then they like drove off, and then I went back down. And like it was only at that point that I realized that there had been two other people who had been shot, and they were on the ground, and one of them was like shot in the abdomen, and one of them was shot in the leg, and we were like all just like trying to like be like, oh no, okay, we need to help them, and then it was like the police rolled up in like this like white van with like their SWAT gear and like the military outfits, and like one had like a huge like rifle, kind of like semi-automatic rifle thing there, and like it was obvious that they weren't trying to actually help us. They were like going after the crowd, and so they weren't like going to the people and trying to help the people who had been shot. They were like going after the crowd, and they were pushing us back. And then like people were like, obviously, like, why are you targeting us? Like, we were just trying to help. These are our people. And so then the cops like start like macing people, and eventually the EMTs came and took the two people on the ground who had stayed to the hospital. Yeah.
Wow. So within all of that, you were able to actually help some of the victims from the shooting into the car
right.
and get help.
Right.
So can you talk about sort of the emotions that you were feeling at the time, that people didn't trust the police to even attend to what's happening, and they felt like they would be further victimized by the police? Can you talk about your emotions when that was happening?
It was so fast, and it was so like... like what is happening, and it was chaos. So I didn't have any reactions. I was reacting out of shock. I was reacting out of like, shit, we need to like get on this. We need to make sure these people are getting help. We need to like what is happening with me. And so I didn't have any emotions.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was with Gia a little bit further back, maybe about 10, 15 feet. And I was running towards it. And then I heard shots, probably 8 to 10 shots. And I thought they were just trying to scare us. So I didn't really think it was a real gun. So I started running, like instinctually, just running back to make sure I wasn't in harm's way. And then I heard, I'm shot. And I ran back here to make sure that we had people that were coming up to you to help them out, because I didn't want to fucking call the police. And then I came back down here, and there was two policemen right up there. And they weren't doing anything. They were just standing there and not doing anything. I said, aren't you going to fucking help? Did you not hear those gunshots? And then they said, why don't you call 911? And I said, you are 911. And they didn't do anything about it. They were just sitting there, standing there, doing nothing. So then I walked back all the way up there, and I called Michael, and I called a bunch of people from BLM to make sure that they were getting out here. And they got here within 5 minutes of my phone call, and the police got here 15 minutes after I called them. So they were here so much later, and the ambulance wasn't anywhere to be found. And it was just, I didn't know what to do, and I just felt so much guilt that I didn't try to stop them faster, or I didn't do something more than I could have done. And they were, it's just, there was just a lot of yelling and a lot of screaming and a lot of pain, and that's all I can remember.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Again, independent media is very, very important, and I can't stress enough my appreciation for independent media producers across this nation, because I haven't seen any kind of, first of all, I haven't seen much mainstream coverage in terms of interviewing victims and witnesses and whatnot. And although I don't watch a lot of TV, I still, you know, I'm connected to the internet and I see all the mainstream corporate websites, and I'm not getting this kind of detail on the scene reporting from them and whatnot. And so that's why I tell, when I founded the Black Talk Media Project in 2008, I said, we need to be the media that we want to see. We all know the corporate media reports from a slanted, biased viewpoint often, more often than not. And so, you know, we need to be out there. We need to be setting up our own community radio stations, our own community television stations. And because of technology advances, you know, there is no reason we can't do that except for money. We need money to buy the equipment. We need money to pay the bills. We need money. All right. So, again, I can't stress enough my appreciation for UnicornRiot.ninja. I'm on their website. I don't see. They have a link that says support our work. And we'll try to make a small donation to them. Even though we're doing our own fundraising, I really, really appreciate that. And so we need to, you know, make a small contribution. Now, I'm going to continue on with the next video. There are about five different videos. I'm not going to play them all, but I want to play witness testimony number four, which is she's describing police macing them at the scene of the white terrorist attack on these people. And, you know, this is just, it's par for the course. It's par for the course. Instead of going after the terrorists, they allowed them to get away, and they went after the victims. So, I mean, come on, man. This is the witness number four.
So we're here, Misha, and Misha was here during the time. Can you elaborate on what you saw? Let's talk about what you saw.
Yeah, so I wasn't here when the shots were actually fired, but from what I understand, I seen video. Four white supremacists came up. We have a safety team that asked them to leave. They started to leave, and the safety team followed them. As soon as it got to a dark part of the area where there were no cameras and nobody filming, they shot into the crowd, shooting four people. Two of those people got into an SUV because they were concerned about the police beating them up more. Two people could not get into the SUV because they couldn't move. Then protesters came over to make sure they were okay. People called 911. The police at the precinct would not move, told them to go away, said this is what you wanted. Wouldn't help. Ambulance was called by several people, at least four people. It took over 15 minutes for the ambulance to arrive. And when people were filming the police response to the shooting, they were maced, including myself, literally for filming. I was not in the crime scene nor tampering with it. Now I don't know what to do.
People have come out, right? Like,
more people have shown up. More people are here to show support. There's actually probably at least 200 more people here now than there were before. We just trying to stay safe, pretty much.
What do you want people out there to be doing right now if they're watching this? Or
if you're watching this, you need to tweet at Obama right now, because several people recognized those people, the four people that shot into the crowd, as police officers who worked for the 4th Precinct. And if that is true, President Obama needs to get to Minneapolis right now. So tweet at Obama. Ask him why he's not at the 4th Precinct. Ask him why peaceful protesters are being shot at, and what we are supposed to do, and how we are supposed to express, and how we are supposed to protest. This is exactly the terror that we're talking about. This is exactly the reason why we're out here. So tweet at Obama. Ask him. He needs to be here, because they're fucking killing us. Excuse my language.
Nice to speak to us. Yeah. Whew. So
So, yeah, people, I mean.
Now, one of our media partners, Why You Mad Son Radio, they should be on air tonight at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, as they're heard every Tuesday night right here on Black Talk Radio Network. But they have a Facebook page as well. If you go to Facebook and you type in Why You Mad Son Radio, they shared a video. I don't know where the video came from or whatnot, but they shared a video of white mass men who are, well, I'll just let you hear the video. Let's see if I can go ahead and pull that up for you.
But this will be Saiga's first recon mission in a little while.
This is Saiga Marine. This is Black Powder Ranger. We're gonna go see what these fucking dindus are up to.
AKA apparently a fucking Bosnian terrorist. I didn't even see what I look like. Jesus Christ, dude.
And yes, we are locked and loaded.
You have a gun?
Why do you hate freedom?
Because. I don't know.
Alright, check it out, you guys. We're gonna be driving down there. It's gonna take us about 10 minutes to get down there. We're going to take a little while and shut the camera off in a little bit. I just want to give everyone a heads up on poll. We're on our way. We're going to knock this shit out. Fucking. We're going to go see what these dindus are dindoing about. You know, because apparently fighting police and fighting paramedics is good enough to let you off with a slap on the wrist, especially when you go for an officer's weapon. So, yeah. A little reverse cultural enriching. We're going to make the fire rise. The fire rise.
Well, basically what he's saying is we're just going to go have ourselves a little look-see.
I read on poll that some little lolly is in trouble and needs our help. Something about search and rescue. So we're going to go knock that out.
Search and recover, actually. I think it's turned that on.
But anyways, you guys, keep on watching the stream. We're going to get on the freeway here in a few minutes. And we'll be there in no time. We'll catch you all later. Stay white.
So you just heard from some terrorists, some white terrorists, there behind these enemy lines, about to engage in some domestic terrorism. Now, we can't say if these are the two individuals or among the two of the four. We heard, you know, from one of the witnesses that there were four individuals. But the media is saying that there is only three, and they have two in custody, one man described as a 23-year-old white male, the other one described as a 30-something Hispanic, but we don't know if he identifies as white or whatnot, you know. So anyway, apparently these guys been posting videos and whatnot, and I would take that as a threat. That's a threat. This video should be forwarded to the FBI and other authorities, so these people, and even though this guy got a mask on, you can still pretty much make them out. I would know those eyes anywhere. He wears glasses and whatnot. So, you know, here's just more domestic terrorism that while people want, like Donald Trump, want to focus on fictional stories about Muslims celebrating 9/11 in New Jersey, we got real terrorists behind these enemy lines stalking people who want justice, All right. So, you know, very interesting, but I agree with the last lady we heard speak, one of the witnesses and whatnot. This is terrorism. This is police terrorism. Why would the police try to stop people from exercising their so-called constitutional rights, freedom of assembly, freedom to protest and whatnot, as well as their First Amendment speech right to film police? Now, the federal courts have already ruled that is every citizen's First Amendment right to film police. And so the police didn't want you to see video of them refusing to do their damn jobs. So, again, shout out to Unicorn Riot.Ninja. That's unicornriot.ninja if you want to see some more of the witness videos. Now, I mentioned Donald Trump, and let me do a quick check of the phone lines. I don't see anybody that has a question or a comment. Did I give out the studio line? That number is 704-951-5030. Studio line 704-951-5030. The conference line, 641-715-3660, 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032 pound. Of course, for those already dialed in, hit star 6 and 1 to comment on air. And I forgot to announce yesterday, there is another way that you can now communicate with us when we are on air, and we have added a chat box. You can now chat. You can, you know, send me messages via blacktalkradionetwork.com. Just look at the lower right bottom of your screen when you're on the website, and you'll see a little blue box, and you open that up, and that's our chat box, and I'll try to remember to keep that open and whatnot, and you can send us messages or questions or comments via the chat box as well. Now, getting to Donald Trump. Donald Trump, as I stated earlier, is being blasted in the corporate media for making false statements about thousands of Muslims in New Jersey celebrating the 9/11 attacks. Let's pull that up. And he's doubling down on his lies and whatnot. But Washington Post did a fact check. Said Trump's outrageous claim that thousands of New Jersey Muslims celebrated the 9/11 attacks. George Stephanopoulos, you raised some eyebrows yesterday with comments you made at your latest Klan rally. No, George didn't say that. I want to show them relating to 9/11. Video clip of Donald Trump in which he says, hey, I watched when the World Trade Center came tumbling down, and I watched in Jersey City, New Jersey, where thousands and thousands of people were cheering as that building was coming down. Thousands of people were cheering. Stephanopoulos, you know, the police say that didn't happen, and all those rumors have been on the internet for some time. So did you misspeak yesterday? Giving him a way out. He says, he doubles down. It did happen. I saw it. You saw that? It was on television. I saw it with your own eyes. George, it did happen. Stephanopoulos says police say it didn't happen. Let me see if I can get to. Here's the facts, according to the Washington Post. This is a bit like writing about the hole in the donut. How can you write about nothing? Trump says that he saw this with his own eyes on television and that it was well covered. But an extensive examination of news clips from that period turns up nothing. There were some reports of celebrations overseas in Muslim countries that are being targeted and terrorized by USA Inc. No, they didn't write that. That was my extra commentary. But nothing that we can find involving the Arab populations in New Jersey except for unconfirmed reports. Some conspiracy websites cite a column by a controversial blogger and commentator, Debbie Sluso, who is highly critical of Muslims, meaning she's racist and a religious bigot, that makes a reference to an MTV broadcast of protests and riots in Paterson, New Jersey. This claim has never been authenticated. As the Newark Star-Ledger put it in an article on September 18, 2001, rumors of rooftop celebrations of the attack by Muslims here proved unfounded. Just say false, all right? No need to parse words and whatnot. Just say false. They're false. Nothing but unsubstantiated rumors. Neither can we find any examples of Trump previously talking about this. Here, for example, is an article, and they provide the links. Again, I've linked up to this Washington Post article for your viewing. Trump, just 8 days after the attack, he makes no mention of having witnessed the alleged celebrations. And in a foreword for a book titled, Where Were You on 9/11, Trump makes no mention of this. I was in my apartment in Trump Tower on the morning of September 11, 2001. I knew what was happening because I can see downtown to the financial district. The mayor of Jersey City, which holds 15,000 Muslims, quickly tweeted that Trump's comments were false. And they're talking about his, you know, not the book, but his recent lies to demonize Muslims around the world and whatnot. And to, you know, just tap into that racist, religious, bigotry crowd that seems to have found a home in the GOP. for whatever reason. I'm sure there are some in the Democratic Party, but they're more pronounced. I think the Democrats' races are more refined than what we see at the GOP. But anyway, this is all a bunch of bull. But what I did see, and I'm talking about me personally, you know, I remember where I was. I was right here where I'm at right now on September 11, 2001. Probably building a website or something like that. I don't know what I was blogging as back then. But anyway, I did see the video of the five dancing Israelis who were detained by the NYPD after reports came in that they were celebrating the attack. And I was able to locate that video for you. And maybe this is what Trump is talking about. I don't know. But let's give it a listen.
It was widely reported that men had been celebrating the attack after recording the first plane strike. They were not Al-Qaeda, but they were detained.
I grabbed my binoculars and I could see the towers from my window. And this is where I'm looking. And all of a sudden, down there, I see this van park. And I see three guys on top of the van. And I could see that they were like happy. You know, they didn't look shocked to me. You know, they didn't look shocked.
There was a group of Israelis, some of whom later were revealed as Mossad assets, who were arrested after cheering and high-fiving and videotaping the crash of the airplanes into the World Trade Towers.
Several other men were detained after a van full of explosives was stopped outside of Manhattan.
Earlier, we had heard that an FBI spokesperson said that there was a report on the George Washington Bridge, which is another facility which you folks are responsible for policing, report that there had been a van stopped there that had explosives.
Asked this week about another sprawling investigation and the detention of 60 Israelis since September 11th, the Bush administration treated the questions like hot potatoes.
I would just refer you to the Department of Justice with it. I'm not familiar with the report.
I'm aware that some Israeli citizens have been detained. With respect to why they are being detained and the other aspects of your question, whether it's because they are in intelligence services or what they were doing, I will defer to the Department of Justice and the FBI to answer that.
On March 6, 2002, a draft report from the DEA said it may well be an organized intelligence gathering activity. Despite all of this, all the Israelis were let go without any espionage charges being filed. Fox News anchors Brit Hume and Carl Cameron would do a four-part investigation into these allegations in December of 2001 and yield stunning results.
It has been more than 16 years since a civilian working for the Navy was charged with passing secrets to Israel. Jonathan Pollard pled guilty to conspiracy to commit espionage and is serving a life sentence. At first, Israeli leaders claimed Pollard was part of a rogue operation, but later took responsibility for his work. Now Fox News has learned some U.S. investigators believe that there are Israelis again very much engaged in spying in and on the U.S.
Since September 11th, more than 60 Israelis have been arrested or detained, either under the new Patriot anti-terrorism law or for immigration violations. A handful of active Israeli military were among those detained, according to investigators, who say some of the detainees also failed polygraph questions when asked about alleged surveillance activities against and in the United States. Investigators suspect that the Israelis may have gathered intelligence about the attacks in advance and not shared it. A highly placed investigator said there are, quote, tie-ins. But when asked for details, he flatly refused to describe them, saying, quote, evidence linking these Israelis to 911 is classified. I cannot tell you about evidence that has been gathered. It's classified information.
Now, when the FBI investigated, it quickly unraveled to be the largest foreign spying ever uncovered inside the United States. The largest. Even the Soviet Union had not been spying on the United States as much as Israel has been doing. So the FBI started to round up these spies. They started to arrest them very quietly. And they were about halfway through this process of rounding up this spy ring when 9/11 happened.
Numerous classified documents obtained by Fox News indicate that even prior to September 11th, as many as 140 other Israelis had been detained or arrested in a secretive and sprawling investigation into suspected espionage by Israelis in the United States. Investigators from numerous government agencies are part of a working group that's been compiling evidence since the mid-90s. These documents detail hundreds of incidents in cities and towns across the country that investigators say, quote, may well be an organized intelligence gathering activity. The first part of the investigation focuses on Israelis who say they are art students from the University of Jerusalem and Bezalel Academy. Documents say they, quote, targeted and penetrated military bases, the DEA, FBI, and dozens of other government facilities, and even secret offices and unlisted private homes of law enforcement and intelligence personnel. The majority of those questioned, quote, stated they served in military intelligence, electronic surveillance intercept, and or explosive ordnance units. Why would Israelis spy in and on the U.S.? A General Accounting Office investigation referred to Israel as Country A and said, quote, according to a U.S. intelligence agency, the government of Country A conducts the most aggressive espionage operation against the U.S. of any U.S. ally. The document concludes, quote, Israel possesses the resources and technical capability to achieve its collection objectives.
What about this question of advanced knowledge of what was going to happen on 9/11? How clear are investigators that some Israeli agents may have known something?
Well, it's very explosive information, obviously, and there's a great deal of evidence that they say they have collected. None of it necessarily conclusive. It's more when they put it all together. A bigger question, they say, is how could they not have known? Almost a direct quote, Brett.
It is now apparent that this intelligence ring was inside the U.S., had prior knowledge of 9/11, and had a classified role in 9/11, which officials refused to discuss. It was also able to penetrate U.S. intelligence agencies and secret offices, yet all were released. The men who were detained due to the report they were taping the first plane crash and then celebrating and joking about it actually went on television and admitted it was their job to record the attack.
And at that point, we were taken for another round of questioning, this time related to our allegedly being members of Mossad. The fact of the matter is, we are coming from a country that experiences terror daily. Our purpose was to document the event.
How could they have known about the attack? And who sent them to document it? The evidence points to a large intelligence network inside the United States that had teams on the ground, such as the ones recording the attack, and electronic surveillance teams gathering information.
So that was a report. I've linked to it if you want to check it out. I just tweeted this video at the real Donald Trump on Twitter to ask him, is this what he was referring to? Did you make a mistake? Is this what you saw about people celebrating 9/11, perhaps? Those Israelis, I know, you know, you can't really tell the difference between a Israeli and a Palestinian sometimes, you know, but that's what he saw, and whatnot. And that person, Jonathan Pollard, that they mentioned in that report, spying on the United States government for the Israelis, he just got let go. They just set him free, and he's probably, you know, being celebrated as a hero over there in Israel, where billions of your tax dollars, your U.S. tax dollars, go every year to support your enemies. So, yeah. Anyway, moving on. Let's see. The next story that I would like to discuss with you is the other false rumor, fake story that's being spread by Donald Trump, as he has been called out even by conservatives for tweeting a fictional crime statistics about murder rates over the weekend. This isn't getting as much attention as his comments, you know, his lies about seeing thousands of Muslims dancing on the rooftops on 9/11 as the towers fell, but it's still a lie. And I've also reached out to Katrina Pearson, who is his new black woman who has just been given a job as his national spokesperson. So I've been asking her questions about some of these stories, but I've yet to get a reply from her on social media. She just seems to be content to just retweeting, you know, a bunch of BS about Donald Trump. And when I say BS about what a great person he is and a great leader he would make for, you know, just a bunch of garbage and stuff. So she apparently the national spokesperson for Donald Trump. Their job does not include answering questions or inquiries from the press. Because I asked her, you know, what do you think about at real Donald Trump tweeting this fake information that comes from a neo-Nazi account on Twitter? So anyway, this is what Hot Air published just yesterday. It's on hotair.com, and I'm just going to let you know it is a conservative propaganda website, suspected racist and whatnot. But, you know, this article, I was kind of surprised. I don't know who Jazz Shaw is, but I was kind of surprised at his accuracy and his truthful post and not trying to, you know, go along with demonizing black people like I've seen, you know, occur in the past on this website. So this is what Mr. Shaw had to say. Well, I'm not sure if Jazz is a male or a female. I'm not sure anyway, because I got a little step cousin named Jazz, and she's a woman. I actually saw this on Twitter over the weekend and assumed that it was just going to blow over. But since it involved a chance to take a shot at GOP frontrunner Donald Trump and included the subject of race, well, obviously it exploded. The Hill has a bit of a rundown on how it unfolded, and it involved crime statistics and race. Donald Trump, this is a quote they posted from TheHill.com, which is a political blog. That's all they, you know, talk about is politics. But this is what they wrote. Donald Trump is taking heat on social media for a Sunday afternoon tweet of statistics purporting to show that the vast majority of murdered black people in the U.S. are killed by other black people. The tweet was apparently Trump's response to a Twitter thread about support from white supremacists for the GOP frontrunner. A drawing of a black man wielding a sideways pistol and wearing army pants, military boots, and a bandana and mask accompanies the statistics, which are sourced to the Crime Statistics Bureau in San Francisco. And this is what the chart says. It says USA Crime Statistics 2015. And so that should give you a clue right there that this is fake. But Donald Trump, I don't want to say that the man is, he is far from being a dumb person. He is far from being ignorant. But, you know, he banks on the fact that the people following him are ignorant and dumb. And so they ain't going to question nothing. But anyway, this is what it, you know, when it says USA Crime Statistics 2015, that should be your clue that this is fake. Because the statistics that's put out by any Department of Justice or FBI or any kind of law enforcement agency, those don't come out until the following year after they've had time to gather all of the statistics for 2015. So that should be your first clue that this was fake. All right. So it says that blacks killed by whites, 2%. Blacks killed by police, 1%. Whites killed by police, 3%. Whites killed by whites, 16%. Whites killed by blacks, 81%. Saying that, you know, 81% of whites that have been killed by black people. All right. And only 16% of white people have been killed by only other white people. And then it said blacks killed by blacks, 97%. All right. All of this is fake. All of this is racist propaganda meant to misinform people and to, you know, just paint this ugly picture about black people. Nothing new. This has been going on for centuries, ever since they ever created the first printing press and put it into operation here in America. This ain't nothing new whatsoever. Let's jump down. Let's see, the media was focusing on two aspects of the numbers presented. This is coming from Mr. or Mrs. Shaw. The media was focusing on two aspects of the numbers presented, one which is correct and several of which are completely wrong. Before getting to the math, we should note that the Crime Statistics Bureau San Francisco seems to be entirely fictional. But on to the numbers. The figures claiming that 1% of blacks are killed by police is silly. The number is well below 1%, but perhaps they were rounding up. The claim, and again, there are 40 million black people in reportedly in the United States. I suspect that the figures are much higher, but I do know that it is a challenge. It's a challenge to get a lot of black people to participate in the census when, you know, to send back in that census report or whatnot. Also, you know, they try to get out there and count homeless people, but they don't always count them all and whatnot. So, no, there ain't no 1% of 40 million black people being killed by police in this country. But there are too many. People, period, regardless of their racial classification, religious affiliations, or political affiliation. Too many people being killed by police. So I can just state that. All right. But anyway, the claim being derived from the chart in the media that most blacks are killed by blacks is mostly right. But the numbers are off on the high side. The percentage of whites killed by blacks is something out of a science fiction movie. Let's abandon a graphic taken from a fictional statistics bureau and slide on over to a more real source of data, the FBI. They actually keep track of these things. In the last 4 years for which we have full numbers, it's 2013. So again, you know, again, this is, I was able to pick up that this was fake just based off of, you know, this saying this is 2015 crime statistics. Because I've been, you know, reporting on this kind of stuff for years now, several years now. And so I know that they are not going to put out something for 2015 and 2015 ain't even over. And usually it's like, you know, it's usually like 2 years. 2 years after the fact that these statistics start coming out. You know, I could be incorrect about that, but they're not going to put out statistics and the year isn't even over. All right. And so this is they included Jazz Shaw included graphic from the FBI crime to the point that they're trying to make black or African Americans. And it says that in 2013, 2,491 black people were killed. All right. The race of the person who killed them. 189 of those were white people, 2,245 were black people, other 20 and unknown 37. All right, so that breaks down, and give me just a second. I lost my place because sometimes these websites like to just, you know, do stuff on their own and whatnot. But obviously, 1% of black people, are not being killed in this country like that. Well, I take that back because we don't know. It just reminds me of Loretta Lynch, the U.S. Attorney General, saying that she doesn't think that police should have to report the number of people or the race of the people that they're killing out there. So when we say to you, like, you know, from The Guardian or from the database killedbypolice.net, that over 1,000 people have been killed. Well, that is just a roundabout figure in the number. Who knows the real number? Because all police departments do not report the statistics. What happens is these databases are compiled through media reports where the media has reported that the police killed somebody. And that ain't happening all the time. And again, the police are not required by law to report any statistics on the people that they kill. So we don't know. We don't have a full picture of exactly how many people are being killed by police. I hate it when these websites do that. But let me just work off of memory. And this has been stated. I'm not new. But most people that are killed in this country are killed
by people who look like them. Most of the white people, over 80% of the white people, according to the FBI 2013 crime statistics, were killed by other white people. These are like crimes. These are crimes of opportunity. If you live, like, for example, I live in a town, I live in a county that's something like 80 something, maybe 90 something percent white. So most of the murders that go down in this county, and it's not like that we have a whole lot of them in where I live, but most of the people that's being victimized are white people being victimized by other white people, because it's mostly white people here. We don't have a large population of Hispanics. We don't have a large population of black people here. So obviously the crime statistics are going to be the majority of white on white crime. You know, they just makes it's just damn mathematics, people. It's mathematics. Black people are not preying upon white people in this county, and vice versa. And not to say that it doesn't happen, but not on the level that these people are trying to say that it's happening. And one of the other things, and I need to close this website for it locks up my damn computer. But it also talks about, and this is totally surprising to me because of the source, but they pointed out that there are more white people being killed by police than there are black people. And I have tried to point that out through social media. I have talked about it in this program. It was brought up on the context of white supremacy Saturday night compensatory call-in, where you had a black woman ask the question about why do we keep seeing all these black bodies, dead bodies in media and whatnot, and why we don't never see the white bodies like that. And she was saying, you know, we'll see the bodies of the students in Kenya that was killed and whatnot by terrorists in Kenya. We'll see those bodies. We'll see Trayvon Martin's body. We'll see Michael Brown's body and a whole bunch of other black victims in this country. But we don't see white bodies. And so she was asking that question as to why. Why do you think that is? So, I have my own commentary on it, or my own thoughts on it. And my contention is, because I knew because I report on this, I follow the statistics as I track 21st century slavery and human trafficking in USA. And so I saw every time I go to killbypolice.net, every time I go there, what am I seeing? A bunch of white victims, mostly white males, being killed by police. I'm seeing them more than I see anybody else. So it's accurate to say that black people are disproportionately killed by police. Yes, that's an accurate statement. But in terms of raw numbers, and even then, the percentages are kind of even and close, which again, you know, I was like, man, I'm surprised the hot air is telling white people that they victims of police violence nearly at the same percentage and rates of black people when you break it down percentage wise. I was shocked to see that come from that website. But I don't know. Maybe I don't know. I don't know if this a white person that wrote that. I don't know if it's a black conservative who wrote that. But that's something I've been trying to get out there. And as I stated on the cows, I said that the reason we don't see all these white dead bodies of people being killed by police and whatnot is because they don't want the general population, which is predominantly white people, seeing the police as terrorists, seeing the police as the oppressor, seeing the police as someone who is out there working to prevent you from enjoying your rights as a free human being in this world. They're enforcing slave code laws, modern slave code laws, that strip you of liberty and freedom. That's what nonviolent drug offenses are about. It ain't about they care about these people using drugs. No, what they care about is keeping that prison plantation full. And they will kill you in the process. Or if you resist slavery, they will kill you. And so they don't want the hundreds, over 100 million white people, what, about 200 million white people, they don't want those 200 plus million white people to see themselves as victims of the police slave system in this country. So that's why they don't show the black bodies. I mean, the white bodies like they show the black bodies. See, they know scientifically from the studies there's been more than one, is that the majority of white people don't care. They don't care. They're not moved by seeing all these dead black bodies. In fact, when a cop kills a black person, they will set up a GoFundMe page for the killer cop, like they did with this killer cop in Chicago. They raised almost $10,000 for that killer cop so he wouldn't have to be in jail during the Christmas holidays and Thanksgiving and whatnot. But that page got shut down, and to their chagrin, he doesn't even have a bail. He's got to sit in jail until the conclusion of his first degree murder trial. But we know they don't have empathy for black people, so you can show images of black dead bodies all day long. The majority population ain't gonna be moved to do something about all this violence. Some of them will. We see, I was listening to the Lotus Place. Well, I have to listen to it because I do the technical engineering. But the Lotus Place on Friday night, where, you know, one of the regular panelists, she lives in Minneapolis, and she reported that most of these protesters out here in the street are white people who are protesting against this police terrorism. And we need to see more of that. But those are a small minority. The majority of white people don't care. That's why they ain't concerned about showing dead black bodies. They ain't concerned about, but if they start showing the 400, if there's video of the 400 plus unarmed white people that have been confirmed kills by police, these people might stop looking at the police as their friends and start seeing them for what they are, guardians of an oppressive system that's still practicing slavery. So I was very shocked to see that. But, you know, my whole point of bringing this to your attention is that Donald Trump tweeted this garbage, which comes from a white neo-Nazi on Twitter. And he didn't have no problem retweeting this garbage from a white supremacist. So he was trying to say, well, from what the article was reading, they were trying to say, Donald Trump tweeted this in response to people talking about white supremacy among his supporters, the majority of his supporters. So he's going to then dispute that with a fake crime statistic report from a neo-Nazi? Man. And but again, his supporters don't care. All they care about is that they're engaged in identity politics, and Trump has identified himself as a racist and a religious bigot, and they are just so tired of people hiding their racism, and they want somebody to tell it like it is. And I agree with them. Tell it like it is. I don't like refined racism. It causes too much work on my part. I gotta figure stuff out. I'd just rather you just be upfront and blatant with your racism. Make my job easier. Then I don't have to figure out, you know, your cold words and you know, the shenanigans and whatnot that you are engaged in. All right, so that's all I got on Donald Trump. Let me close out some of these windows. Tando Radio Show will be coming up here at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. He will be talking about global war and financial crisis, economic crisis. So make sure y'all keep it locked right here on Black Talk Radio Network as L.A. Dave. Dave might have to change his name since he's moving away from L.A., but yeah. Let me see if my stuff is still working. Okay, it appears that I got cut off. I apologize. Let me go ahead and get dialed back in to the conference line. I just had that website just cause my computer browser to, like, you know, shut down, not shut down, but lock up, and it disconnected me, so I need to get back connected. Y'all bear with me, those that are listening to the Black Talk Radio stream, as I go ahead and do that. Apologies to the people, I know you can't hear me now, but that were dialed in the listening line. Some of these websites, man, they just put too much stuff on them, man. And it causes browsers and stuff to lock up. So let's see if I can recover my browser and get dialed back in, as I do have to do the technical engineering for Tando Radio Show coming up at 6. And it disconnected. All right, let me shut down that media player and get dialed back in. I appreciate the listeners' patience. The last story that I was going to share with you is concerning the international news story of the Turkey.
This Y'all service is provided in high definition in. By free conference call HD.com. This conference is being recorded. Q&A session started.
All right, we are back in again. Apologies for that happening. Let me go ahead and just log back in to the switchboard. I mean, it just caused all the shockwave software on my computer to just crash, man. Damn. Hi, Air. What y'all doing over there? But yeah, about what happened in Turkey, or in Syria, really, with the Russian plane being shot down. People, that is serious. That can result in this turning into a wider World War III. And I'm sure Brother Dave will be talking about it coming up on Tando Radio Show, as he has been talking about it last week. And that's very serious. That's very serious. I remember listening to Brother Dave report about the Russians being warned by Turkey, talking about they violated their airspace and that they would shoot them down and whatnot. And now they follow through on that threat. And Russians are contending that they did not violate the airspace of Turkey, which is one of the NATO nations. And this Russian plane that was shot down was actually engaging those terrorists that are in Syria that NATO is using as proxy tools to overthrow the Syrian government. Turkey hates the Syrian government as led by Assad. I don't know what their hatred is based on and whatnot, but so they went ahead and took a shot at this plane and shot it down and killed one of the pilots. His body has been found, but they haven't found the others. And from the reports that I read on it, this plane was operating over an area where Al-Nusra, remember John McCain in those photo ops with those Al-Nusra's terrorists? All right. They were in that area that the Russian warplane was targeting when it was shot down by the Turkish military. So that is unfortunately, man, it looks like it's starting to heat up there. Putin, the Vladimir Putin, the prime minister of Russia, or the president of Russia, I'm not sure what his title is. He is very angry about this and said that they stabbed him in the back. And this was, you know, just in recent days, NATO sending overtures towards the Russians and saying that you are welcome in this fight against ISIS and whatnot. But Putin has said that, no, what y'all doing is y'all supporting them terrorists while we trying to kill the terrorists and whatnot. And so he's very angry about this NATO attack on Russian airplanes and knocked it out the sky and whatnot. And I seen President Obama on television. He wasn't talking about the terrorist attacks in Minneapolis where 5 black people got shot by some what has been described as some white supremacist terrorists, domestic terrorists. No, he wasn't having a press conference about that. He wasn't telling the Minneapolis police to to, you know, do their jobs and protect the protesters as they are out there exercising their constitutional rights and whatnot. And but no, he was on there talking about, you know, we need to remain calm and, you know, let's not let this turn into World War III. And of course, I'm paraphrasing what he said, but yeah, they are taking this very serious. Again, this could turn into World War III, and I'm sure the military-industrial complex and all the investors in the war profiteers would love for this to turn into a World War III, because they would make plenty of money. You know, they already making plenty of money, but, you know, these are greedy people. You know, $1 billion ain't enough. They got to have $1 trillion. And then even then, that ain't enough. They got to have whatever the next denomination is. What's over $1 trillion, a zillion, or I don't know, a gazillion. So, you know, these are greedy people. They profit off of death and destruction. And this is very serious. So, anyway, that concludes my program. Tomorrow, Wednesday, I will not be on air for Black Talk Radio News, but you can join me at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time for New Abolitionist Radio. And it's already one story that I can't wait to talk about, because apparently Congress is about to commemorate the passage of the 13th Amendment, pretending like it's abolishing slavery. And Speaker, you know, the new House Speaker Ryan, has a blog for the speaker maintained by the speaker's office, speaker.gov, I think it is. And he tweeted, on that website, they were talking about Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, Mitch McConnell, and Speaker Ryan, of course, were going to have some kind of special commemoration of the passage of the 13th Amendment. But what was interesting, and this is the deception that I have documented, in mainstream media, whenever they were talking about the 150th anniversary of the Civil War or the conclusion of the Civil War, and they mentioned the 13th Amendment, but yet in there, they would not publish the entire text of the 13th Amendment, which is only what, man, two sentences at most. But Speaker Ryan, or whoever it was that made this post to his website, failed to post the entire text of the 13th Amendment. They just put the first part that says slavery and involuntary servitude shall be abolished. And that's it. Well, what about the rest, man? What about the part that says except for punishment for crime? Because, see, they don't want people to know that this ain't mass incarceration that y'all facing. That ain't why the United States has more prisoners than any other nation on the face of the planet. And several of those nations combined still don't have the number of prisoners on prison slave plantations that the United States does. It ain't mass incarceration. It's slavery. And that is why on purposely, these people don't put in the entire text. So that is one of the lead stories that one of the producers, Max Parthas, has chosen for us to talk about on Wednesday night. Again, that's New Abolitionist Radio, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, where we discuss 21st century slavery and human trafficking. We're talking about the legal kind. We ain't talking about the illegal human trafficking, you know, which involves a lot of workers and you know, young girls and other women, sex trafficking. And we ain't talking about, that's already outlawed. All right, you can go to prison for that. But George Zoli and you know, even Thurgood Marshall, the third, that's the son of Thurgood Marshall, the former Supreme Court justice. Yeah, they get to practice legal slavery, you know, through private prisons and whatnot. So definitely tune in, because I got a whole lot to say about that. And I actually tweeted at those representatives that I named and asked them, don't you know that slavery was never abolished? So should be an interesting broadcast. Let me see, tonight, 10 o'clock p.m. Not following Tando Radio Show, which is coming up here in about 7 minutes, but tonight there will be a broadcast of Why You Mad Son Radio. You can find them on the web at whyyoumadson.com, I believe is the web address. But yeah, we do simulcast their broadcast right here on Black Talk Radio Network. So shout out to the Mad Men. Looking forward to hearing what y'all be talking about tonight on the Black Talk Radio Network. All right. Recognize the fact, people, that we live in what can be described as behind enemy lines, that it is certainly a battlefield out there. Casualties are being created every day. We just seen 5 casualties in the war on black people up there in Minneapolis. We saw the police did nothing to prevent this violent attack and whatnot, and they even started attacking the protesters for filming them not doing their jobs and going after these terrorists. All right, because I guess terrorists don't go after terrorists. So that's evidence that there's a battlefield out there. Casualties are being created, and you need to develop battlefield awareness so that you can decrease the likelihood that you will become one of those casualties, that you will become one of these new slaves. Now, there is nothing that can, you know, provide you with 100% certainty that this won't happen to you, because, hell, you know, things happen in a war zone that just can't be avoided. But again, we want you to have the best chance to survive, and the best way to do that is to develop codification, battlefield awareness, and battlefield skills. So we hope that you will do that. With that said, peace and blessings to all. Be safe out there.
When we see our people being brutalized by white bigots, white racists, we think that they are foolish to allow themselves to be beaten and brutalized and do nothing whatsoever to protect themselves. They are foolish. They should have the right to defend themselves against any attack made against them by anyone. If a dog is biting a black man, the black man should kill the dog. Whether the dog is a police dog, a hound dog, or any kind of dog. If a dog is picked on a black man, when that black man is doing nothing but trying to take advantage of what the government says it's supposed to be is, then that black man should kill that dog, or any two-legged dog. You'll find, sir, that there will come a time when black people wake up and become intellectually independent enough to think for themselves, as other humans are intellectually independent enough to think for themselves. Then the black man will think like a black man, and he will feel for other black people. And this new thinking and feeling will cause black people to stick together. And then at that point, you'll have a situation where when you attack one black man, you are attacking all black men. And this type of black thinking will cause all black people to stick together. And this type of thinking also will bring an end to the brutality inflicted upon black people by white people. And it is the only thing that will bring an end to it. No federal court, state court, or city court will bring an end to it. It's something that the black man has to bring an end to.